Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
For Food Network fans, South Carolina chef Cartier Brown is a familiar face. She's appeared on Beat Bobby Flay, Farmhouse Rules, and the Spring Baking Championship. Cartier Brown is also the host of her own show, Delicious Miss Brown, where she introduces viewers to the food of her home, Charleston's Sea Islands, as well as her spin on family recipes like macaroni and cheese.
Look at that.
It looks like my grandma's. It actually looks a little better. It looks good. Grandma, you didn't hear that.
Last October, Cartier Brown published a new cookbook called The Way Home. She joined me then to talk about it. So many great pictures in here, not just of food either. Home for you is the Sea Islands of Charleston. Many listeners may not be familiar with that area. Can you tell us a little bit about your home and what makes it so special?
Yes, so my family is from a little small island in a cluster of islands off the coast of South Carolina. Wadmalaw is where my family is from. It's where slaves were brought on the transatlantic slave trade because settlers in that area saw that the area was really great for harvesting the grain rice. And so they knew that the people of West Africa also had this vast knowledge of cultivating rice. In that time, the settlers had issues with diseases of the land, and they were unable to stay in the Sea Islands. But because the people of West Africa had grew almost immunity to the types of diseases and things of that area, they were able to stay there in isolation. And so they were able to keep most of their language and their food and the culture. Fast forward generations later, my family also are direct descendants of those enslaved people. That's why it's so special. It's an area where for a long time it was untouched, and it still is very beautiful. And it's home to Gullah Geechee people. So that's why it's extremely special to me.
It is a gorgeous area. And yes, the Gullah Geechee people and that area in particular still maintains those strong roots culturally to West Africa. So much of African-American food comes from this tradition of making do with what you have. They weren't given the best cuts of meat, right? They were, you know, weren't always given the freshest vegetables or fruits. And I wonder if you could explain the difference between what I think of, what others may think of as African-American food and Gullah Geechee food.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because when you think about Southern food or African-American or soul food in general, you think that, oh, it's deep fried. It's only macaroni and cheese. It's only collard greens swimming in some type of smoked meat. But Gullah Geechee food is not that. I mean, it is some of that, but the original type of Gullah Geechee food is where food was stewed and cooked in one large pot. A lot of things were not deep fried because honestly, getting cooking oil and things of that sort was not accessible to the people of the Sea Islands. There were not major grocery stores or chains or anything like that. Gullah Geechee food is, we have the saying, we live by the land and we live by the sea. Whatever you grow on your land, whatever you catch in the sea, you eat. And so a lot of our food is very fresh. It's actually farm to table. Before farm to table became a fad or a thing, Gullah Geechee people were doing this out of necessity. But that's the biggest difference. It's not all about deep frying and having crazy amounts of butter. It's all about seasonality and fresh ingredients with little to nothing. Like you said, like sometimes giving the scraps of meat and making something wonderful from that.
You talk a lot about your mother and your grandmother and their influence on you and their cooking and sitting in the kitchen with your mom on Sundays. But it sounds like your grandmother wanted you to keep your fingers off of her cooking. She didn't want you interfering while she was in there. So how did you pick up their habits, their style of cooking?
So number one, I think it's just instilled in me. It's just one of those things, like you're just born with it. But my grandmother, yes, she didn't believe in having kids, which she says mucks up in the kitchen, because it's just a place where she did her thing. It was her area. And so she would allow me to sit at her little two-seater she used to have in her kitchen. And I would watch from there, and I would just ask a ton of questions. I'm just a very inquisitive child. And so I would always ask her, like, well, why are you putting that in there? What's that? Or how do you make this? And so I guess all of those questions over the years just kind of stayed with me. And so as soon as I was able to cook in the kitchen, when they allowed me to, I kind of already knew what I was doing because I've watched for so long.
So you have recipes like she crab soup, low country crab cakes. You've got the low country cheese steak with Have Mercy sauce. Mm-hmm. some of these may be terms people may not be aware of, things like low country, or they may even not understand what a she crab is. Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about how you're sort of carrying on the tradition of the Gullah Geechee people and your own family, even in the recipes you've chosen and your ingredients?
I tell people all the time, you got to come to the low country to experience it. And they're like, what's low country? I'm like, you know, we're kind of below sea level here. And that's why, you know, we're really close to the ocean, and we eat a lot of seafood, and we eat a lot of okra and rice and things of that sort. And so shaping a cookbook around that was so important to me because it is a part of my everyday life. And it is the fabric of who I am, not only as a chef, but as a person.
I want to talk about some of the recipes themselves, and I have to start with our producer's favorite. Emiko has made your aunt's recipe for lemon cake, and she says it's a huge hit with her neighbors, which means she's nice enough to share something like that. I'm not sure I am. But it uses lemon lime soda. It uses, you know, Sprite. How does that work in a recipe?
So the Sprite acts as a dough conditioner and also a leavener, because it doesn't have baking soda or anything else in the recipe, so that the carbonation in the lemon lime soda acts as a leavener. So it gives the rise, and it also gives that soft texture to the recipe. And also, I mean, it tastes like lemon. So so you get that citrus flavor, and then you also get some of the softening agents in it. So it's just, it's a home run. I mean, I'm not the first to invent lemon lime soda cake, but Aunt TC's recipe is just like, it's a no-brainer. And I'm glad she allowed me to. That was one of the first recipes I made on the show. And I perfected it, and I said, I have to share this with the world. And I think it's one of, if not my most reviewed and loved recipe.
Really? You also have, we would be here all day if I was going to go through the recipes that I had marked for me to try. But there's things that are relatively quick to cook, but they are so full of different flavorings. I'm thinking of things like your barbecue shrimp, which is, when I say barbecue, people are going to think it's covered in barbecue sauce. That is not what this is. So how do you create that sort of taste with all these different spices that you use?
So what I have to give credit to the Creole and Cajun culture. We are very closely related to the people of New Orleans as far as our cooking style and the way that we prepare foods. And so my love of Cajun and Creole cooking kind of gave birth to this recipe. So it's just creating all of these spices with, you know, the paprika and the cayenne and things of that sort. And then, you know, creating this almost this like gravy, which is kind of like why they call it a barbecue. It has that smoky essence of a barbecue sauce, but it's also like a gravy. And it's one of those things that you just got to like peel and eat. It's, you get messy, but it's an experience, and it's just, it's delicious.
I have to also talk about mac and cheese because, frankly, coming from a family, a Black family that came out of Georgia and then Arkansas and Mississippi, that mac and cheese recipe is often the very first thing they will check to decide whether this is a good cookbook or not. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your approach to mac and cheese.
I have several ways of making macaroni and cheese, but my tried and true recipe is the one that I kind of elevated. It's my grandmother's. It's old school. It uses the extra sharp cheddar cheese. You got to cut those up in blocks. You got to hand shred the cheese. You got to add a good amount of butter, and you got to add your cream and your eggs. Eggs are so important. That's a big debate around town, to use eggs or to not use eggs. You got to use eggs over here for this particular old school, old fashioned way of making Southern macaroni and cheese. And then I like to add cream cheese to mine to get it really creamy
and sour cream.
Velvety and sour cream, because it adds a little twang. The sour cream just pairs really well with the sharpness of that cheddar. It's just, that's another one of my very most popular recipes is that macaroni and cheese.
Okay, so for someone who is just beginning to experiment, maybe this type of food is unfamiliar to them, mm-hmm. what recipe would you say, okay, try this first?
Because I want people to get very familiar with Low Country cooking. This is going to sound a little off, but I would say learn how to perfect a pot of rice. Because there's a lot of people, and I meet a lot of people that always say, I can't cook rice. So I have the recipe in the book, The Perfect Pot of Rice. So perfect your steamed rice, and then all of the other recipes will just, especially in the new Gullah section, will just fall into place.
Food Network chef Cartier Brown, the cookbook is called The Way Home, a celebration of Sea Island food and family with over 100 recipes. We didn't even talk about that. Cartier Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Celeste, for having me. This was a great talk.